treasures of our God and King. Lift up your voice and with us sing. Alleluia. Hello and welcome back. This is Pastor Ron Schermerhorn of Forest Hills Presbyterian Church, just giving you another segment of our podcast. What a wonderful blessing to be a part of that. God is doing some great things in our church these days. And so I have wanted to start this podcast just to kind of connect with y'all. And to stay in tune with what God is doing here at Forest Hills Presbyterian Church, and to stay in tune with the Word of God, and to stay in tune with what's happening in the world. There's a lot going on, man. There's a lot going on, and God really wants us and needs us to be people who will follow Him in these days, and people who are unafraid and unashamed of the gospel of Christ. People who will listen closely to the Word of God and to follow what the Word of God has to say. And so I encourage you, that's why I'm trying to do this, try to encourage you to be as close to the Lord as you possibly can, as close to God as is possible in your life. That's what God desires. That's what the Word of God is about. It points us to Him. It points us to how God uses the image of Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit within us, the triune God reaching into our hearts and lives, changing us and making us like His Son. And that process can be tough. There's no doubt about it. But I do want to welcome you to the podcast today. I hope that you're listening, and I hope that you have the opportunity to follow up. You're welcome to call us here at Forest Hills Church at 252-291-5587. If you want to call, that would be great. But please feel free to do that, and feel free to join us on Sunday morning too at 10:30. Man, Forest Hills Church is far from perfect. But we are a smaller church, there's no question about it. But I got to tell you, I am so blessed to be the pastor here. Really am. For the last year and a half, we've been able to, year and 8 months, we've been able to help to minister to the folks here at the Presbyterian Church, EPC. And it's just been great. We are a reformed group, unapologetically reformed, unapologetically believing in the sovereignty of God, unapologetically believing that Jesus only, faith only, scripture only, those are the things that keep us and hold us together, the essentials of our faith. And so, again, I do want to welcome you. Thanks for joining me today. Well, for once, it's sunny outside today, which is great. We had a bad thunderstorm, as y'all know, coming through last night. But welcome. Glad you're here. I wanted to spend some time today with us. I've been preaching a series of sermons on who Jesus is. Who is Jesus? Why is it important to know who Jesus is? And it's been good. It's been a good series thus far, and we're using for the text for the series the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John outlines who Jesus is in just a beautiful and a wonderful way that is understandable. John's Gospel is very different from the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Different in that it was written to really Gentile people in the town of Ephesus, the church in Ephesus, and so Paul was trying to write this book to this letter to them, to the Christians, and to the people who were Gentiles, so that they might understand who Jesus is. Matthew, Mark, and Luke were written more from the Jewish perspective and speaking more to the Jews, because they had a basic understanding of Messiah, coming Messiah. And so they wanted to say Jesus is the Messiah. But to the people that John was writing this gospel to and this letter to, it was a different story. They really came from a whole different set of understandings of God. Many of them believed in one God, in Ephesus in particular. One of the gods that they served was this Logos, or this reason. God was just called reason or word, this Logos. And so John writes to show them and to help them understand who Jesus is. Now, the cool thing about it is, and he says it in chapter 1 of his gospel, he says, hey, look, you know, I'm not just telling you a bunch of stories here. I'm telling you what I saw with my own eyes and how my viewing of God in the flesh changed who I am, and it will change you, he said, if we believe. So we're just gonna spend these next few weeks talking about who Jesus is and why is it important in our world today. I'll just tell you this: if Jesus is who he says he is, then that's going to impact your life. If he is truth, then that's going to impact you, because we have to follow something. And if you reject Jesus, which is your choice, you're going against ultimate truth. Now, you can say that, Pastor, and that's very intolerant of you. No, I'm just saying that because it's true. You see, there was only one religious leader. There was only one real holy man who came and said wonderful things and then proved it by dying on the cross and rising again the third day. Yeah. You know, and I hearken back to C.S. Lewis in Mere Christianity, who just simply said Jesus is one of two things. He's either lying, he lied to his followers, which is horrible, or he's a lunatic, he was crazy, he said, or he is exactly who he says he is. And for C.S. Lewis, I think that really cuts it down to the quick, doesn't it, for you and me today? Jesus is either lying, or he's crazy, or he is exactly who he says he is. But the thing of it is, he proved it by dying on a cross and rising again the third day. He said he would do it, and he did it. In bodily form, he rose again. So that warrants truth. That means that everything he said is true. Not an opinion, but truth. And what was so amazing about John is in John chapter 1, verse 14, Jesus, he talks about Jesus and he says, now listen, the word became flesh. This word, this logos, this reason that you want to worship, this word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten Son of God, full of grace and truth. Oh my goodness. And if God, the reason, the Logos, became flesh and was fully God and fully man, then listen, what he said is true. And you either believe it or you don't. That's up to you. So we're going to spend a few moments today, and I'm going to kind of relay to you the introductory sermon to this series, who is Jesus. Jesus is. And we're starting in John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. And so let's just read that together. You know, you're welcome to grab a Bible if you have one near you. I read from the English Standard Version, but please, you know, you're welcome to use whatever version you want. Still says the same thing. Here's what John 1 says. In the beginning was the Word, Logos, reason. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, up to that point, the people who were reading this would say, yeah, I mean, John knows what he's talking about. This reason was God, sure. Mm-hmm. But he continues. He said, he was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. They're still agreeing. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And they would be saying, amen. Preach it, brother. And then in verse 14, he says, you know, this word became flesh and dwelt among us. And I have seen with my own eyes. I followed him. I have seen with my own eyes this God in the flesh interacting with humanity. Wow. Wow. Many people have opinions about Jesus, even today. Jesus didn't come, though, and this is an important fact, Jesus didn't come to create or form or to establish a new religion, quote unquote. It's not like a diversion or a portion of Judaism that he was preaching, but he did not come to form a new religion. He came to show us God in the flesh and to establish relationship with God, personal, intimate relationship with the Creator God through his life. That's important to know. Because religion is not going to answer your questions. Not at all. They may try. And religion's important, mind you. I mean, it's really part of the human condition. We are trying to understand this infinite God who is way beyond us. And we have these puny little brains that try to understand the infinite God. And it's okay for us to say, okay, according to the scriptures and according to the Bible, the Word of God, which we believe is inerrant, we understand God as he reveals himself through his word, through our personal relationships, through reason, and through scripture. You know, those things work together through our own personal experience, that is, the fourth one. As Wesley said, the quadrilateral. So we're trying to understand God in that way. And yeah, I think that's true. We sort of want to write these down, and we sort of want to believe things. The apostles found out quickly in the early church after the resurrection of Christ, when the church was being sent abroad, they understood that a lot of crazy things can go on out there, and some people were saying Jesus was all different kind of things, that he was you got to know God by your intellect, by your wisdom. You got to know God, but Jesus never really rose from the dead, that he just became a kind of a spiritual being. Lots of people still believe that. But John and the Gospel said, no, he rose. He rose. We saw him. He's alive. He ascended into heaven. We saw it. He rose in bodily form. He's not a spiritual being. He rose in bodily form. Ask Thomas. He'll tell you. So, but you see, that's the thing. Religion doesn't answer your questions. When you're beside the bed of a person who is passing, you know, I spent 10 years as a hospice chaplain and was able to do that ministry while, interim as church in different churches throughout that 10-year period, Presbyterian, Nazarene, Dealing with all of that, you know, when you're laying and sitting beside someone's bedside who is passing, there is nothing I can do as a minister to bring religion to them that is going to help them through this. Only Jesus and his spirit will help people through tough times. Religion doesn't answer your questions. Why is this happening to my husband or my wife or my child? Why? Religion doesn't answer that. The Word does. We don't understand it, but we go to the Word. It's authoritative and it speaks to us today. Literally. Some people don't like that I say that. Tough. And the denomination I came from, PCUSA, absolutely. If I said that, they called me crazy. They said, well, the Bible's a nice storybook, you know, but really it doesn't have any authority today. And they call themselves, see, that's the most amazing thing about it. They call themselves a Reformed denomination. They're not Reformed. Not anymore. Anyhow, religion doesn't answer your questions. Jesus does. And that's why it's important to know him. I mean, I could sit here and talk to you about Reformed doctrine. I could talk to you about Wesleyan doctrine, John Calvin, James Arminius, any of them I could talk to you about. But I want to talk to you about Jesus because he's the answer. Some say Jesus was a great teacher. Others call him a prophet, you know, that he was a good moral example. Islam believes that he was a good teacher and a prophet. Others see him as a revolutionary figure who changed history. But before we even ask what Jesus taught or what Jesus did, we must answer the more fundamental question, who is he? And the Gospel of John doesn't open in a manger in Bethlehem, not with shepherds, not wise men, or any of that. It opens with eternity itself. John, in the first few verses, pulls back the curtain and shows us who Jesus is before creation, before time, before anything existed. John's message through his gospel is simple and profound. And especially in these verses, Jesus is God, Jesus is creator, Jesus is life, Jesus is light. In those first two verses, he says, Jesus is God, and the beginning was the Word. Before the beginning began, Jesus was. John doesn't say, in the beginning, the Word came into existence. No. He said, in the beginning was the Word. The Word already existed. Hebrews 1:3 says that Jesus is God's ultimate self-revelation. It says, he is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. Yes, Jesus is God. If you want to know what God's like, look at Jesus. Then he continues, and he said, the Word was with God. Jesus is distinct from the Father. There is relationship within the Godhead. Then comes the most powerful statement of all in Scripture. And the Word was God. Not merely God-like, not a lesser deity, not a created being. The Word was God. This is the foundation of the Christian faith. Jesus is fully and eternally God. Second thing he said in verse 3, Jesus is creator. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Yeah, nothing existed apart from Christ. Every mountain, every ocean, every star in the sky, every atom in our body, every human life, all things came into existence through him. Paul said in Colossians 1:16, for by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. So being inspired by God, the Apostle Paul wrote those words, by him all things were created in heaven and on earth. Paul wasn't there, but he was told that by God, and it became real in his life. The hands that would one day be nailed to a cross were the hands that formed the universe. Powerful. The voice that cried, "It is finished," is the voice that spoke creation into being. This means our world is not random. History is not accidental. Our lives are not meaningless. The Creator knows us because He made us. That is the message we need to tell our young people today, huh? Because they're told, hey, yeah, the world is random, just kind of happened. And then all this dirt began to spin around and created more dirt. And then An asteroid came, was full of ice and hit the Earth, and it melted, and became the oceans and stuff. That's just, come on, God said it, it happened. What's so impossible about that? If God is impossible, then I'm following the wrong God. Nothing is impossible with God. Nothing. We also tell kids, history is accidental. Your life is accidental. And the kids are hopeless. Lives are meaningless because we tell them, you were an accident, it just kind of happened. Rather, David tells us in Psalm 139, "You knitted me in my mother's womb." The one who created the galaxies is ultimately involved in the daily needs of our lives. And the God who created the galaxy created you in your mother's womb. Man. Because he is creator, he has authority over all creation. The winds obey him, the seas obey him, the diseases obey him, even death obeys him. Jesus is creator. Jesus is life. In verse 4, John says, "In him was life. Life resides within him." Jesus is the source of all life. Physical life comes from him, spiritual life comes from him. Eternal life comes from him. Oh, yeah. Later in John's gospel, Jesus declares, "I am the resurrection and the life," and I'll be preaching on that from John 11, 25. Many people look for meaning in their life, for purpose. They look in success or wealth or pleasure, relationships, achievements. I got to tell you, when I was a young pastor, I always wanted to pastor that big church, but boy, thank goodness the Lord got a hold of me. People would say, "Well, that's just the way it is. You're not a very good pastor," or whatever. And I've had good friends that have long forgotten me who have become very successful in ministry. More power to them. But I don't find my meaning in this life by any kind of success, because I'd go crazy if I did. Or wealth. I have no wealth. Got a good friend again that I grew up with, and man, he's a writer and he's a preacher and he's all kinds of things, and he's got great wealth. And hey, that's great. That's great. But I don't find my meaning and my purpose in that. These things can never satisfy the deepest needs of the human soul. That's why religion can't do it. That's why religion can't do it, because Jesus is life. Augustine wrote, and I love these words. Augustine wrote, "Our hearts are restless until we find our rest in thee." And that is the testimony of Augustine, how he ran away from God for so many years, but when he finally connected with God and God reached into his heart and changed him, he went back and remembered the restlessness of his youth. And he said, "Our hearts are restless until they find our rest in thee." True life is found only in Jesus. Because apart from him, there is spiritual death. In him, there is forgiveness. In him, there is purpose. In him, there is hope. In him, there is eternal life. The gospel is not merely about improving our lives or making us better. It's about receiving life from the one who is life itself. Meaning, purpose. Verses 4 and 5 say that Jesus is light. And John continues and he relays to us, "The light is the light. His life was the light of men." Light reveals, light guides, light gives hope. Without life, we're just stumbling around. Light, we're just stumbling around in the darkness. Scripture often uses darkness as this picture of sin and ignorance and separation from God. Our world is filled with darkness, no doubt. We see darkness in violence and injustice, broken relationships, and human rebellion against God. We also find darkness, though, in our own lives. But see, John proclaimed the good news. The light shines in the darkness. Notice the verb. here. It doesn't say in past tense, the light shined in the darkness, past tense. It says, and it doesn't say it will shine in the future. It says the light shines now, present with us in the darkness. That is so cool. It shines. The light is still shining. Jesus entered a dark world and his light continues to shine today. Then John gives a triumphant declaration, and the darkness has not overcome it. Oh, yeah. The darkness tried. Herod tried to destroy him. Religious leaders opposed him. Satan tempted him. The crowds rejected him. The cross appeared to silence him. Yet darkness could not overcome him. On the third day, he rose from the dead. Good stuff. Sin does not have the final word. Death does not have the final word. Jesus does. Jesus does. So, in these first five verses of the Gospel of John, who is Jesus? Jesus is God. Jesus is Creator. Jesus is light. And Jesus is life. This is not merely information to believe. It's a Savior to worship. If Jesus is God, then trust him. If Jesus is the Creator, then submit to him. If Jesus is life, then receive him. And if Jesus is light, follow him. The question before each of us is not simply, who do other people say that I am? Jesus asked his disciples that. The question is, and Jesus asked his disciples, who do you say I am? Who do you say I am? Well, I hope and pray that that scripture speaks to you. I really do. I pray that that the Lord will bless you, that the Lord will keep you. And I pray and hope that you will continue to follow this podcast in the days to come and keep an eye on what's happening at Forest Hills Presbyterian. We're good folks. Good folks. Yeah. We would love to have you come and be a part of us. We would love to have you join us week after week as we follow him. So remember, all creatures of our God and King, let us worship him.
All creatures of our God and King, lift up your voice and with us sing. Alleluia, alleluia.
May the Lord himself go with you. May you be blessed this day. God bless you. Thanks for listening.